Hello and welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture, where we share the news, happenings, and celebrations from around our state. I'm Rhonda Hammond, AIA, your AIA Florida 2024 president, and I'm excited about our topic today. In this episode, I'm going to introduce the winners of our 2024 FAPAC Challenge from AIA Jacksonville. With us here today is Dean Scott, AIA president-elect, and Julie Epstein, AIA president of AIA Jacksonville. Good morning and welcome to you both. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rhonda.
I'm so glad you guys could be here. So, advocacy is crucial, and through our efforts, we are able to be a part of the conversation on efforts or on issues, rather, that affect the day-to-day practice of architecture. FAPAC is the political arm of AIA Florida, and the committee allows us to collect and donate money to those representatives amenable to our cause. It's how we gain influence and are able to make our voices heard. In the last few years, the sessions have been very active with issues such as deregulation, universal licensing, and attacks on our CCNA statute. Our advocacy committee has hosted a component challenge to raise the most amount of money for FAPAC. The prize is the Michael Huey Leader of the Pack trophy, known lovingly as the Wolf Pack. AIA Jacksonville has led the pack in raising funds and winning the trophy more than once. You have won it in 2020, 2021, and now 2024. And this year, AIA Jacksonville raised the largest amount of any other year or component by raising $13,160. Keeping in mind that AIA Jacksonville is not the largest component in the state, so it's really outstanding. So, congratulations to you again. And through your efforts, FAPAC has raised the largest amount ever this year at $60,500. So, again, thank you for your efforts. But before we begin to talk about how you guys have pulled this off, with us here today is Becky Magdaleno.
FAPAC is the Florida Architects Political Action Committee. It is a political committee registered with the Florida Division of Elections. We are the only political committee that is representing architects to members of the legislature and candidates for the state legislature. We are lawfully give contributions within the campaign finance limits of the state of Florida. We are allowed to take corporate contributions. We are not a federal PAC, but a state political committee. And we FAPAC has its own board independent of AI Florida that makes decisions working with our legal counsel and government relations team at Gray Robinson to make targeted contributions to candidates and legislators seeking re-election that support our issues. The other thing FAPAC does is we do have a representative from every component. So we want to make sure we are getting the local intel when we make these decisions about who to give to and who not to give to. So we want to make sure we are supporting the candidates that are supportive of you locally. Most of the time, people running for the state legislature have been city or county commissioners before they've moved up. So you guys have those relationships. And then we also want to make sure that those checks get delivered locally.
Tell us a little bit about AIA Jacksonville.
I guess I can take that, being the president this year. And if I leave anything off, Dean can come and kind of fill in like he's going to do in a couple of months. AIA Jacksonville is a really great group of architects here. We have one of the larger numbers of registered architects in the state. We have a very active group of people. We have events monthly, ranging from social events to events learning about construction law, building tours. We have our trade show, just a lot of activities. We're trying to, my main idea with president this year was engagement. So being engaged not only with the chapter, but with the city and with the community. We had some really great events talking to some of our members about how active they are with their community involvement. We had a really great event talking to our Downtown Investment Authority, learning about how they finance projects for redevelopment. So we've tried to have a lot of events with a broad range this year, trying to show that, you know, we're architects here in town. We're here to help with whatever we can in the city. I like to say that architects are problem solvers, so we need to insert ourselves into as many areas as we can and help with the problems that are out there.
Julia certainly has been an amazing leader this year, and I'm so happy to have gotten to know her over the last few years as she's ascended through the leadership chain here at AIA Jacksonville. We represent Duval County, of course, which is where Jacksonville is, but also Nassau County, Clay County, and St. John's County. So there are four counties in our area, and there's quite a bit of diversity, geographic diversity, I will say, in that four county region. We have the ocean, we have the urban center, we have the intercoastal waterway, we have rivers, we have lakes, we have swamps, we have forests, we have rural areas. So we take that as a challenge to try to find something in our programming that is for everyone that's a member of AIA and is also attractive for those who are licensed or becoming licensed that aren't members of AIA. So we like to move our programs around and not just be city center focused, but try to get out into Clay County, get out into St. John's County, move our events around a little bit so that we can make it convenient for those folks. Because after all, it's our job to serve them, it's not their job to serve us. So we're trying to find out what our membership wants. And Julia did a great job earlier this year with a survey of our membership so they can have a voice in what we're doing.
Our past president, Roxanne Horvath, she's down in St. John's County, which is St. Augustine, and having, such a historic component to our chapter is always really interesting, adding tours and everything down there. And then the resiliency that she's been spearheading herself is really interesting to find out about as well.
Having the Naval Facilities Command in Jacksonville is a huge source of work and employment opportunities for many architects and engineers, a big economy for design professionals with the U.S. Navy, and based right here for the southeast portion.
Something I think too that we've been really lucky the past couple of years is that UF's architecture school started the UF Jacks Lab, which is a master's program for architecture right here in downtown Jacksonville. So we've had the opportunity to have more of an education engagement as well. So that's been a really great development for our chapter.
It sounds like you guys have a lot to offer both members and students as well. So moving on, without giving any of your trade secrets away, how has Jacksonville, not being the largest component, keeping that in mind, consistently met the challenge?
Dean and I were kind of speaking about this a little bit beforehand, and I'll let him save his point because he'll deliver it well. But I think one of our biggest concerns here is Jacksonville is a pretty busy city as far as architecture currently, and a lot of our offices and our architects don't always have time to stop and advocate for themselves. So we've sort of taken it upon ourselves as the membership of AIA to come up with an event and offer that event where everybody can have a lot of fun. And it's very engaging, not only for the architects, but also, contractors, engineers, get the whole, building committees together and just have a great time and be able to not have to worry about necessarily, checking that box for everybody, like when you do renew your AIA membership, oh, here's some extra money for FAPEC. It's kind of one big fun event where everybody can know that we're raising that money for to advocate for architecture.
Like most great ideas, it starts out with the vision of one or two people, right? And then it just evolves. So we had some folks in our component that were interested in FAPAC, and they conceived of this event as a dedicated funding source for FAPAC. And I think there were other components doing similar dedicated events for FAPAC, and we decided that a clay shoot would be our event. It's just worked out really well. Marjorie Y. Breed has taken took ownership of it initially, and now the chapter has embraced it as a whole, and other firms and other folks are running the event, and this coming up 2025 event will be our fifth year for it. So
Oh, wow.
it's worked out
Wow.
Worked out great.
Marjorie is one, I would say Marjorie and Michael Bird are the two people, the kind of the brains behind this whole thing. So they brought this idea to us, and Marjorie started it and kept it going. And now other people have picked it up. And, you know, we're, like Dean said, I hope we constantly are able to keep this going within our chapter, and we can, you know, keep raising more and more every year and raising the bar and keeping an advocacy out there for the profession.
Julia was ribbing me a little bit about just being competitive. And, you know, I'm a frustrated high school athlete, so I'm still competitive. Mm-hmm. And when something's out there that's a contest and there's a trophy or there's a prize or someone's keeping score, then, you know, we want to win.
Yeah.
We want to represent ourselves well. So there's always that part of it too. And I think the competitiveness, the friendly competitiveness of a clay shoot,
mm-hmm.
where they are keeping score and offering prizes, and the friendly competitiveness of this component challenge, I think they'd go hand in hand.
I think you kind of talked about how we won in 2020 and 2021, and then we had a lull of a couple of years. So I think our competitiveness back in the early part of the 20s led to some of the other chapters being like, man, we got to up our game and beat Jacksonville. And then that led us, again, even more so this past year, to be like, we got to up our game and we got to beat everybody again. So it's been really great to see that evolve over time, knowing that the ultimate goal is to raise money for FAPEC, which is so important for our profession. So really, you know, getting out there and sort of setting a new standard and then everybody working towards that. I hope next year, you know, we're fighting again to see if, you know, our large number we bring in, if it still holds true, and some of the other components are, you know, when they're putting their events together or doing their, you know, talks around town for donating for FAPEC, that they're saying, you know, this is how much Jacksonville raised last year and we got to beat them. So I hope that's the case, because then it ends up helping all of us in the long run.
It does. And it has been this friendly competition, and I love it, because around the state, Jacksonville is the one to beat, and that's the conversation. So you guys have set that bar. It's fun and very motivating and aspirational. So why do you think it's important to your component membership?
I think FAPEC is one of those things, when you're first starting out in architecture, you kind of hear about it and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, FAPEC, that has nothing to do with me. And then one day you overhear, oh, they're thinking about getting rid of architecture licensure in the state of Florida and deregulating. And you're kind of like, wait a minute, wait, what? What can we do for this? And I, you know, not all of us have time to go to the Capitol and spend the amount of time it takes to advocate, to let lawmakers who aren't always in architecture and understand how important it is to have that licensure for the health and safety and welfare of the people we serve. They don't understand how important that is. So to be able to donate money towards people who can use that time to mm-hmm. advocate for us, to me, is one of the most important things I think that the AIA has to offer for architects, because that's just, again, we don't always have the skills and the tools and the time to do that for ourselves. So having other people out there for us is just, to me, worthwhile for anything we can do to raise that money.
I'm like you, I was astounded, because I had no clue what was going on, or there was an advocacy committee. And so when I got involved and realized, wow, these decisions are being made all the time. And it's like, if we're not there and we're not part of the conversation, we're letting everybody else make those decisions for us. And I'm thinking, you know, a lot of these people, I don't want making decisions for me.
Yeah.
So I was really happy that AIA was so involved, and that and that was the leg that I got involved with. So you mentioned that it was a dedicated event for raising funds. What other advice can you give to some of the other components about, without giving away? Well, you've given away a little bit of a secret.
You've given away some secrets, but that's okay, because then everybody, you know, can go back and retool their events. And like mm-hmm. I said, you know, it was nice for us. It was a little bit sad when we did it, you know, win three times in a row, and then We tried to raise our amount the fourth time, and I, again, like I said, just seeing other components rise to the challenge and then us being able to do the same thing is only beneficial for everybody here. So but one of the big things I think is finding an event where you can open it up to the whole building industry and not just architects, because there, there's other decisions happening in the building industry with some of these laws that affect contractors and engineers and interior designers. So being able to have an event that opens up to everybody not only gives you a larger group of people that want to take part in it, but they also have an investment in the outcome of it as well.
Great point, Julia. I think trying to cast that wide net to bring as many people in close contact with architects is very important, because there's still so many people, even well-educated and successful people, that have no idea really what architects do and the value the architects provide. So the more that we can be associated with those folks, I think is better for everyone.
Is there anything else you guys would like to share?
I think we've given all the secrets.
No more secrets.
I think, Rhonda, other components just need to do it.
There you go.
No matter how much you may have reservations about starting something, if you believe in it, just do it. Then you do it again. Then you do it again. Then you do it again. And this consistency gives it validity, and it just will start to take off, on its own after you plant that seed and you nurture it for a little while. So don't be afraid of it being a failure or not being successful in year one. If you believe in it, do it, and it'll be successful in the long run.
And like Julia said, it helps everybody. It helps everybody, all of us around the state. So
thank
you both for sharing and being with us, Dean and Julia, and thank you to our listeners. If you'd like to participate in our advocacy efforts, mark your calendars for February 4th for our annual Legislative Day in Tallahassee. AIA Jacksonville, like I mentioned, has been setting the bar for FAPAC for several years now. So the 2025 challenge will be open first of the year. In the meantime, you can make a donation to FAPAC at our website. Thank you again. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you at our next episode.